Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, for our first Advent service, we talked about peace. That is, of course, peace with God. As we look around our world so often today, there's so many wars taking place. There's so much turmoil. It seems that so many things are going wrong. And although you and I as individuals can't really do much to bring about world peace, we can establish peace in the most important relationship that each of us has, can't we? That is peace between me and God. First of all, isn't it kind of amazing that God would even care enough about me that he would want to have peace with me? You know, world powers, they don't really care about small, dinky countries, do they? Right? Many world powers make decisions they could care less about what Argentina might think of my decision. I could care less about what Colombia is going to plan when I make my decision. But the Lord God wants to have peace with us. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? No, in some families, there is a favorite child, isn't there? Right? It just is kind of how things are, you know. And maybe it's not their way in your family, but you probably had friends or something like that growing up. You know, there's the family, you know. Oh, they had, you know, the golden child, right? The golden child, he got like 15 letters in high school, and he got straight A's, and he went off to school on a big-time scholarship. And then after he graduated, he became president of a company. And then there was the second one, you know, he didn't do so bad. You know, he went to engineering school and he got a good job at an engineering firm. And you know, he built that bridge up there. You know? And then he said, well, what about the third one? It's like, oh, well, we don't really talk about him that much. No, don't really talk about that one, right? Now, there's a favoritism in a lot of families, but God looked down on us and he sent his golden child to save us, right? He sent the one that got the 15 letters in high school and the straight A's and went off to university on the big time scholarship. He sent that one who was perfect, right? The only begotten Son to save us. And it wasn't even at that time when we finally got our act together, you know. It wasn't at that time when we finally were smart enough to understand that God was really important. No, God sent Jesus to save us when we're cursing his name, right? When you're lying around drunk in your dorm room trying to recover from the big party at college last night. When you were doing all the things that your mama told you never to do. God sent Jesus at that time, on our worst day. When we were doing everything wrong. See. And now, as I've said before, it doesn't really matter that your sins were just the thousand splinters our Savior got in his back as he hung upon the cross. Or if your sin was as great as a sin that drove the spike into the hand of our Lord. The Bible says we all have sinned. We all have fallen short. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one of us to his own way. But the Lord has looked upon us all. The Bible says the Lord desires for every single person to be saved, for every single person to come to the knowledge of Him. When Jesus died upon the cross, it was for everyone. The text for today tells us that we are all like clay. That the Master desires to fashion each one of us into something extraordinary. You know, sometimes people have talked about this verse and they've said, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and, you know, God makes vases, you know, and that's like most people. And every once in a while, God makes a vase. Somehow it's more important. But no, the Bible says that God has fashioned each one of us with that care of a loving Father. Now, yeah, we do go astray at times, don't we? We fall into sin. And maybe, you know, we've even deformed ourselves in some ways because of that sin. But the beauty of the gospel is that at any moment in time, God can remake us. See? The master craftsman can take hold of that vessel, no matter how distorted, how deformed it perhaps has become, and he can make it new again. And really, that's kind of the beauty of the Christmas season, especially, isn't it? Right? The tiny little baby Jesus comes into this world. He's brand new. Right? He has that new baby smell. And he comes to bring the blessing of forgiveness, the promise that you and I can be made new also. Now, if you're sitting out there thinking to yourself, man, you know, it all started when I was five, you know, and I broke the plate. You know, I broke Mom's favorite plate, and Mom came and asked about it. And I said, oh, no, Mom, it wasn't me. I don't know. It was, you know, just an earthquake. You know, the train going by on the railroad tracks, you know, must have just knocked the plate off the shelf, and I don't know what happened. Well, for me, it was my dad's shotgun. I don't know if you've been there, but you know, my dad had a nice case mounted up on the wall, and he had his double barrel shotgun in there, you know, and I'm messing around, and I hit that thing, and the shotgun fell out and crashed to the ground. The stock cracked. Man, have you been there? Right? Been there. And then, you know, you went off to college and, you know, you're drinking too much and, oh, there are too many parties and, you know, you don't want to talk about those years. We just won't talk about that. And then, you know, we got into our later 20s and things kind of settled down a little bit. We formed our family and, you know, things maybe smoothed out some. But still, you're thinking about all the stuff in the past, right? If only I hadn't broke my dad's shotgun. If only I had had more self-control in my early 20s. If only I hadn't did whatever that big thing was. That maybe we did. It's all still there. And dear friends, at any moment in time, we can go to our Lord God and we can say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinful being. And because of the work of Jesus, God forgives us. God says it's over. It's washed away. Right? Even though your sins were the thousand splinters in the back of Jesus as he hung on the cross, those are covered over. They're washed clean. They're gone. Or even though your sin was that great kind of sin that drove the spike into the hand of our Savior, that too is healed. It's washed clean. It's gone. The new vessel is created in the hands of our God. That really is the beauty, isn't it? At any moment in time, because of the work of Jesus, we can be forgiven. And we can be made new. And we can be changed. Instead of being a vessel of dishonor, we become a vessel of honor in the Master's hand. You know, in our Christian church, you know, we're pretty famous for John 3:16, aren't we? And even if you never memorize any Bible verses, right, most people still can know John 3:16. It is, of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But dear friends, have you ever been kind of detached from that verse and you say to yourself, well, I'm sure I'm glad, you know, God loves the world, right? It's really nice that, you know, God is out there at a distance and he sees the little blue marble of earth floating around in space and he says, wow, I really love that little blue marble. Right? Oh, that's really special to me. My God so loves the world. But dear friends, I want it to sink in once more today. God so loved you. Right? We can say it in those terms, can't we? God so loved, you know, maybe even say it with me, at least in your mind. God so loved me. They gave his one and only Son. That if I would believe in him, I would not perish, but I would have everlasting life. See? God doesn't just love some big nameless group. No. God loves you that much. He loved you so much that he sent his only legitimate begotten Son. The one who is perfect. Who got the straight A's and lettered in 15 sports and got the big time scholarship and became president of the company. He sent that one to die for me. The one who may have failed a test or two. The one who may have tried to play a lot of sports but never went to state. The one who, got to go to college but had to mow lawns to make my way through instead of having the big time scholarship, you know. The one who wasn't that perfect always. And Jesus came into this world to save us. The individuals. The people that mess up at times. The people that couldn't quite get it right when they needed to. The people that had harrowing experiences and the people that, yes, even committed sins. And Jesus came for us. Dear friends, that's the message we take through this Christmas season. God has made a way for us to find peace with him through his Son. He loves us so much that he desires everyone to come to him, everyone to be saved. He longs to take mangled pieces of pottery and make them something beautiful once again. All it takes is that moment to ask for that forgiveness, to return to our Savior, to be under the shelter of his mighty wings. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be in your hearts and minds now and always. Amen.